Good evening, councillors. Just read the webcasting notice. Please note that tonight's meeting, other than the confidential sessions, are being recorded and will be placed on council's website. All in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Council takes all care when maintaining privacy. However, members of the public gallery and those addressing council should be aware that you may be recorded. Okay, thank you all very much for coming on tonight. Do we have any leave of absence? Do you make place Councillor Aitkensy? Councillor McKeown? Okay. Moved, seconded, Councillor Matusa. Move over. Thank you. Confirmation of the minutes from the previous meeting. Thank you. Seconder, Councillor Shipley. All in favour?
Okay, any declarations of interest? Non-significant. Okay, so you just you remain into the meeting.
I'm also declaring a non-pecuniary less than significant for the St Mary's Town Centre annual report presentation, and I'm on the board as well.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll go straight down to our business for tonight. Item number one, the St Mary's Town Centre annual report and audited financial statements. Ms Pollard, are you introducing this?
I am indeed, Madam Mayor. So thanks very much. Here to introduce report number one. Madam Mayor just spoke to, I will introduce Martin Coote and Nicola Hasgrove, who are both here to present on the activities of the corporation, but just to very briefly introduce that. And so that for the newer councillors, each year the corporations, both the St Mary's Town Centre Corporation and the Penrith City CBD Corporation, come and present to council on the activities of their previous 12 months. In this case, for St Mary's, we're actually reporting back on 2020-21 period. And so just to kind of keep that in mind, that we're a little bit behind in the schedule. So we do this each year with both the corporations, and the chair and staff often come along, talk to us about what's been happening in the previous 12 months, and also talk through some of the challenges that they've been experiencing, and we'll also then speak a little bit to their plans for the next 12 months. So every 3 years we do a review through the corporation's process, and just again for the new councillors, the review process will come forward in 2022-23. It's an opportunity for us to mutually look at the achievements of the corporations and to see where we can be supporting them better, but also if there's opportunities to improve the activities or ways that they're responding to the particular challenges in their city centres. So we'll be briefing councillors more about that in the coming months. So again, just to focus back in on 2020-21, for both corporations, a challenging year. And, you know, I'm going to come back in a few months' time and talk about 21-22 and say probably even more challenging, particularly for St Mary's in terms of the particular lockdowns in there. St Mary's also experiencing some staff challenges over that period of time, and we're really pleased to see Nicola here tonight as the Town Centre Manager and being able to speak to the work as well. As councillors would be aware, in this period we've provided through the Special Rates Initiative $345,832 to the corporation St Mary's for its operations. There will be an overview of the activities. On page three, just so you're aware, there's a fairly clumsy attempt of mine to talk about the surplus funds, because in previous years when St Mary's have come to us, they've been holding surplus funds. In the last reporting period, we asked and negotiated for some return of those funds for some physical infrastructure works in St Mary's that are currently underway. The table there isn't meant to be read. It doesn't ever add up. It's just it's the figures that talk about the surplus funds that were there last time the corporation came to council, which was $624,976. In terms of there's been 270 returned to council. The surplus funds as at the 30th of June in 2021 were $428,322. So a reduction in that period. And then the table then speaks to the current surplus funds balance, which is $175,000. Just to note that the obviously the books aren't signed off for this year, and so that's kind of that's the information that's been provided to date. And when at the end of the financial year, when the books are signed off and we'll have a better understanding about the surplus being held by the corporation at that time. Unless there's any questions, Madam Mayor, I'll introduce Martin and Nicola.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. Hi. So, Martin, who's come and presented to council previously as the chair of the corporation, local business owner in St Mary's as well, and active citizen in the St Mary's area, will speak to the activities from the previous 12 months, and Nicola Hasselgrave, the new town centre manager, will also talk about some of the things that she's been doing more recently. Thanks, Martin.
Right, thanks, Jenny, and good evening, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much, and councillors, thank you for the opportunity to present to you this evening. I'll wait to the end, and we'll bring in Nicola just to talk about some of the current activities, because she's only just come on board in October last year. So we're jumping back to the annual report for 2020-21. So she wasn't around for that. So I'll just handle the presentation for now. So I take it, I'll just share the screen with you so that we've got the actual report here. So this would have been the document that you were supplied with a few weeks ago, and I'll just run through this and just pause to talk about some various points as you've all would have had a chance to look at it. I think just starting off, I'd just like to acknowledge Councillor Tricia Hitchin, Madam Mayor, for her time on St Mary's Town Centre Board, and just to express our sincere gratitude for all of the work that she did for the St Mary's community through the board. So thank you very much to her, and would welcome, obviously, Councillor Bernard Bertuzza for as the new council representative on the board from this year. So welcome to you, and also acknowledge Councillor Marlene Shipley having been elected to council, and congratulations on that. And Marlene remains on the board in her capacity as the community representative. So I'm sure that you've all read every single word of my report there, so I won't run through that in detail, and I'll just flick through really to one of the first major points, and I can talk about some of the items in my report there. I think the main thing that we were faced with in 2021 and 2020-2021 obviously it was COVID. It goes without saying, almost you forget to say it at this stage. So I will just say that happened. And that sort of shaped everything that we did for that entire reporting period. So everything that I present to you this evening, I think if you could view it through the frame of the challenge of COVID throughout the entire time, that we appreciated. I think obviously, our businesses in the area suffered a lot of setbacks, a lot of challenges as well, and that was one of our most pressing concerns through that time to make sure that we sort of shepherded them through that early stage of COVID when it was particularly new, particularly frightening, I think, to everybody with the instability. I think we know a lot more about everything these days, so it doesn't seem as fresh, but looking back to this period, that was very much a focus. Council were good enough to put together the economic task force, which I was involved in, and thank you very much for the opportunity to serve on that. That was a very good way to keep in touch with everybody around the different parts of the LGA's economy, understand all of those moving parts and what other people were facing. And it was, I guess, good, if you want to use that word, to hear that everybody was facing all of the same challenges. We weren't really unique in that respect. And to learn from everybody else how they were handling things, so that then we could also apply some of that to what we were doing, and then also share some of what we were doing so that other people could use that as well. The Metro obviously was one of the big things that really came online at that time. There's been some wonderful positives, and yet a lot of those positives are still yet to be realised. Some difficulties there, losing Station Plaza and the Coles that was in that is obviously one of the major setbacks for the area in terms of there's sort of that large presence of a big brand in the area, and it affects, along with the Metro development itself, it affects the natural flow through of people in the area coming through up from the railway end up through Queen Street and then down around to the village and or up to the Great Western Highway. So that's something that I guess we're going to have to navigate in a much bigger way over the next 5 years, I'm assuming 4 years as it is now. And I'm sure the end result will be fantastic, but that is something that we are going to be up against there. And there was a lot of assistance from council, I know, and discussion around relocating Coles and being able to do that. Unfortunately, it sort of didn't come to anything, but it's maybe something further down the track. The other thing also, and I mean, this is the whole purpose of what we do, is about attracting people to St Mary's. So we had our focus is a lot around the visibility of St Mary's and the town centre. I think in that respect, just touch on the fact that the area in general is in dire need of some capital investment, and that's at all levels. That's government, that's private, and it's sort of even big private and small private at an individual level. So it'll be interesting to see how that's achieved over the coming years. So the website was one of the first big features of the year that came online at February 2021, and had been worked on throughout 2020, and that was on the back of the rebranding program, program that we had undertaken. Very happy with the result of that, and we're still, I guess, in a sense, coming to terms with being able to maximise its potential, but getting it over the line was a really big achievement during this time, and set us up very well. A lot of the other things that sort of flowed through that, there was our focus on advertising and promotion during this time, obviously took a little bit of a different path in social, that we had to take almost everything online because of COVID. So we invested heavily in social media. A lot of our events transitioned to online events, such as the Easter, Halloween, even Christmas, having a lot of interactive programs that we could engage the community with using social media there. So that was our focus. Very, very few opportunities to have in-person events through this reporting period, and we're very happy that we can sort of get back to it now, which is fantastic. Fingers crossed. Halloween is another one, and Christmas. Christmas did, to some extent, clear for 2020. However, there was the outbreak in the Northern Beaches, and all of that right at the period when we were wanting to do some of the in-person events. So those were done in different limited ways. And so we spent more money on the actual, just the look of the street. So there was investment at street level to make everything attractive and to give it a bit of a Christmas flair, because it was the probably the one bright point throughout the year for everybody, that we were able to do that. We also managed to have a dinner, which some of you were in attendance at that, which was great. Easter the following year, Pink Up St Mary's was one of our charity engagements there. And then if we jump through to the strategic planning day, so this was the board held in April of 2021. And here, just to backtrack a little bit for some context, we had a strategic planning day back in March of 2020, and that was led by a former head of strategy for an ASX 200 company, and she worked with us to put together a really thorough strategic plan for looking at sort of multiple horizons of 3, 5, 10 year periods, and what we could achieve in those times, what we wanted to do, how we fitted into what council were doing, what Metro was doing, the airport, the Aerotropolis, all of those kinds of things, to make St Mary's stand out amongst all of that, and to have a proper framework there so that any board members, were you know, new or existing, could carry that forward across that period. So in April of last year, we sat down and then said, okay, well, COVID stopped us from actually enacting a lot of that. So what are we going to do? It's 12 months old. What can we bring forward? So we were very happy with what was in there. And then the expectation was at that point that we could actually do something about it. Little did we know that we were going to have the Delta outbreak. So we've still, I guess, got that up our sleeve to carry forward, because it's very much there to be done. One of the things that was decided at the strategic planning day was that there were some issues around performance in a staffing sense. And so the board decided that we would have a change of leadership in the operation team there. So that took place in May. And again, it was probably bad timing, in as much as with COVID, it changed people's appetite for changing jobs, and we had recruiters on the task. We had lots of false starts through that period. It was very, very difficult to recruit, and we wanted to make sure that we were right, waiting for the right person, not just any person. And I think I would add that councillors Hitchin and Shipley were both my colleagues on the employment subcommittee there, so they can speak to a lot of the experiences that we had during that time. We were very pleased in the end being able to get a fabulous person in Nicola. So we welcomed her in October and haven't looked back. But that meant that we were without a CEO during that time from May to October. So it was very hard to, with only 0.5 of a person working in the town centre office, and they were working from home, for the board to actually do a lot of things. I guess in some sense, the situation with COVID was lucky in that we didn't have much to do. But at the same time, there were a million things behind the scenes going on that we were trying to bring forward. So a bit of a difficult time for everyone there. And a lot of that will be, I guess, in the next reporting period. So, but it did begin in this reporting period. So it's worth touching on it there. And obviously one of our big concerns is the surplus fund. So I should just preempt many people's, I think, natural curiosity about what's going on with the surplus funds. I guess all I could say is, but for COVID, I'm very confident that we could have achieved the reduction in the surplus funds that was brought to council in 2020. And approved, which was for the relocation of the town centre offices and some forward rent budgeted for that. But unfortunately, there haven't been any premises available. the St Mary's Town Centre, Queen Street in particular, has been enjoying an extremely low vacancy rate, one of the lowest vacancy rates in our history. So that wasn't very useful for us in terms of being able to relocate our office from above the library down to street level, which was our intention. That's definitely still something that we want to do, and those funds are there and allocated. There are lots of other allocated or committed funds at that stage. So that was for the website and the branding program, the prospectus and investor campaign attached to it, the shade sale, which is of course one of the big projects, which is still to be brought over the line. We're just waiting on the final permission that needs to be done so that that can finally be put up. So we did have the surplus funds there. That was $218,000 that was applied to the relocation project for the relocation of the offices. And then at that stage, we also took a lot of the remaining surplus funds and carried them across into the budgets for existing events, because we thought, well, okay, we can add that to the events and make them even more special. Of course, those events had to be cancelled in 2020. They were then cancelled in 2021. We're talking the Spring Festival in particular, but also, you know, Easter, Halloween, and even Christmas. The amount that you can spend on social media versus the amount that you can spend when you have a few thousand people coming into the street is very, very different, and the return on that investment is very different. So there are funds sitting there. The other aspect of that were the wages that we had saved over the period where we didn't have a manager. Some of that is offset by the recruitment cost. So there's that to factor in. But all in all, there were lots of challenges in divesting ourselves of those surplus funds across that period. It's certainly at the top of our list of things that we want to do over the next 12 months and beyond. And some of those projects, and I think just to wrap up, to touch on some of the projects for the future. So, always have the facades program ongoing. That comes out of the surplus funds. That's the shade sale. That's actually the artist's impression. So that's pretty much what it will look like, which will be great. If you've been down there since the end of last year, the walls have been painted white, which made a big difference, but it'll be even a bigger difference when the shade sale itself is in place. So the committed funds in this report are those there on the screen, but then we have other projects looking ahead in the current year, current calendar year, and then the next financial year. Some of those projects, these are some of the ideas which are yet to go to the board or have been discussed, but only touched on by the board. Retractable bollards around Coachman's Park. That would have a good impact on some of the costs and the safety around when we hold events in Coachman's Park. And also along with that, some industrial grade electrical sockets in Coachman's Park. So that allows us to hold events there and to position things well and efficiently around the area. That's fairly large investment in that space, but I think it will pay off, particularly in relation to a lot of the plans we have around markets throughout the year, which is something that Nicola can talk about. Just continued streetscaping and also a lot of investment in nighttime economy. So we have some ideas around businesses or business ideas that we can support to drive a nighttime economy and hopefully kickstart some of that back in the area as things begin to stabilize, normalize throughout the process. So I'll bring myself back and just that I'll that concludes my part of the presentation. I think at that stage, at this stage, perhaps if there's any questions about the report itself, I'm happy to take those now. Unless Jenny or Madam Mayor, if you'd like to hear from Nicholas first, you're leading the meeting, so I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Martin. Yes, I think we'd like to hear from Nicola. Welcome, Nicola, to your first meeting.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and hello, good evening to everybody. Nice to be here on my first meeting with Council, I guess. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. Obviously, as Martin mentioned, I wasn't around for any of this reporting period. So it's been as much a learning curve for me as it is, I guess, for you hearing it all. I just wanted to touch on some of the things moving forward. Obviously, there's some things that are still carried over from that report, like the shade sale. I'm very much chasing that up and keen to get that in place and get some of these things ticked off as soon as possible. Some other things that I'm really keen on getting started are the extension of being able to have markets more often in St. Mary's, perhaps even a monthly market that we could have organic fruit and veg or something that will encourage people to come into St. Mary's and an attraction for sort of local residents as well to utilize the other shops and services that we have there. I know that for a lot of our events, the markets have always been successful. So we can look at, you know, doing those more often and perhaps food trucks and taking advantage of the big trend that there is at the moment of on social media with food trucks. And I know I live in more of the mountains area. And if there's one thing that draws in a lot of people, it's a good good food truck. So I'd really like to start getting that evening evening visitors, evening action, I guess you could say, happening in St. Mary's. And that's one of the things actually that I was interested in. I've spoken to Martin about it's something that we're trying to sort of piece together logistically is when we move down to street level, perhaps utilizing the very shop front of the space to run something like a dessert bar from as well as our offices that we could use as a way of bringing money back into St. Mary's that we can then spend in St. Mary's, but it will also boost that nighttime economy and where we're trying to get things. So at the moment, as you may well be aware, we have a real shortage of evening dining, dessert bars, anywhere to go really past 5 p.m. Cassandra's is just recently opened up later on sort of the Thursday, Friday, Saturday evenings. And she's been really successful with that. And that's something that we really want to encourage and try and support her with, as well as other businesses coming into St. Mary's to bring that nighttime economy. So we thought maybe now is a good time for us to start spending some of those surplus funds into trying to see some of those things start happening. But I'm really, really looking forward to working with everybody and seeing some of these projects come to fruition. And yeah, really happy to be here.
Thank you, Nicola. Do we have any questions? Councillor Carney.
More of a comment than a question. Just wanted to congratulations, guys. Look, I think this is in the 6 years I've been on council, I think this is the first time there's actually been a true vision for the nighttime economy. I just want to congratulate you on that. It's worked really well within the Penrith Centre, but it's definitely something that's really well needed within that eastern precinct of Penrith. It's something that people really, really are waiting for, and you know they are going elsewhere to go and do that type of thing. So well done, guys. Keep up the great effort on that, and I look forward to turning up to one of the night markets.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Martin and Nicola, for the presentation. Well done. My question is really an accounting question. I note in your revenue statement that the income is $374,000 for 2020. But only $111,000 for 2021. The reason for that, I think I know the answer.
Sorry, which page are you on? I'm having to look at this.
Page 15 of the report that I've got in front of me.
Oh, right, okay.
Note 2 of the financial statements.
Oh, right. Thank you. So that's the return funds to council is the difference there.
I thought it was. I would have thought it would have been more appropriate, more transparent to show that as an actual return rather than contrary it off against the income from Penrith Council, which therefore would have made your cash flow statement also should be changed. But anyhow, just a comment.
Yes, thank you. Noted, and I think you're right, it would have been easier if it had been laid out as a separate line item. But yeah, that was the funds there.
Thank you.
Councillor Davies.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, look, just in the introduction from Jenny, she mentioned that the audit report's not signed off yet. I just wanted to know what the reason for that was.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Councillor Davies, if I suspect I've given you the wrong impression by doing that. It's more that the reports, the audited report for 2021-22 hasn't closed off yet because we're not at the end of the financial year.
Yeah, so I thought you meant it was the year before.
No, my apologies for that.
Councillor Thain.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I'm happy to move the report and I've just got a few comments, if I may. Martin, thank you for giving up your evening and reporting to us this evening. It's a comprehensive report and I'm really grateful that you took the time to do that. I know that it's been a really difficult couple of years, not mainly 2020, 2021, but 21, 22. Going into 22 has been difficult as well. And, you know, we all know that last year we were one of the 12 areas of concern, which St Mary's was in the heart of in our LGA, which meant that foot traffic would have been very limited then. And take note of what you said about private investment and investment in general in St Mary's. Honestly believe that maybe the events of the last couple of years have maybe slowed that down. But if we do get post-COVID, I think you'll see private investment accelerate, especially as the metro, as that goes forward and more work on that happens, I think we're going to see a lot more private investment in the city as well. And I don't think it'll be too long before all of this. I'm sure there'll be something else that'll replace the Coles that was like the Station Plaza in the future. And I actually believe that there'll be a significant investment in St Mary's. I think its future is really quite rosy, to be honest. So, again, thank you, Martin. And for Nicola, congratulations on your appointment. Tough job coming in, and it's been a couple of tough years, but hope you got your feet under the desk now, and we wish you all the best for the future, and hopefully we can support you as best we can. I know it's difficult trying to find a shop front. You're absolutely right, Martin, and I think it's quite sensible to wait for the right shop front to not just grab anything that might be available, and that would make sense as well. So all the best for the next 12 months, and let's hope we get a clear year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fingers crossed. Yeah, thanks for the support.
And if I might make a comment, forgive me, I don't know how to put my hand up on Zoom.
Have you turned your microphone on?
I noticed that Bo Reid is present over Zoom, and I understand that he was charged with managing Parramatta Square and city economy and night markets in one of his previous roles. So it's very, very pleasing to see that he's on Team Penrith, and I hope we take full advantage of having Bo on our side. And again, congratulations, Nicola, on your appointment.
Thank you.
Councillor Gardner.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to say congratulations to all at St Mary's. I recall about 10 years ago, I walked up and down Queen Street and counted 84 vacant shop fronts. So to hear that now you're having difficulty finding a shop front, that's very pleasing to hear for the advancement of St Mary's. So congratulations to everyone. And at the end of the day, that's why you're all there, to get some activity happening in St Mary's, and that's clearly happening. So congratulations to everyone involved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Gardner. Anything else? Nicola, I'm just hoping this year we'll get a spring festival going.
Yes, it's definitely on the cards. Keep coming away.
All right, thank you. Thank you for coming along tonight, look forward to catching up to you soon. Thanks, Nicola. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Councillors, the report was moved by Councillor Thane. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Carney. All those in favour? Carried. Thank you. Item number 3 on the business papers. The ARIC report. Who's introducing the ARIC report?
Madam Mayor, it's Matthew Bullivant. I'll be introducing that report. Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. As part of the council's ARIC charter, that's the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee charter, the chair of the ARIC is to present an annual report to the Policy Review Committee meeting, which focuses on the performance of the ARIC over the preceding 12 months, similar to what you've just heard from the Town Centre Corporation. So the period that will be presented will be for the 2021 financial year. Unfortunately, Bruce Turner, who is the chair of the Audit Committee, has taken ill and he's not able to present. However, Elizabeth Gavey is online to present in Bruce's absence. Just a little bit on Elizabeth. She joined the ARIC as an independent member in November 2017. She chairs audit committees for three other councils and is also on the Audit Officers Audit Committee. She's a qualified solicitor with over 30 years' experience in investment banking in the health sector, and she's an experienced company director, particularly in the health industry. So I'll just pass over to Elizabeth and happy to take any questions arising from councillors following the presentation.
Great. Thank you, Matthew. I hope everyone can hear me. Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. Just to check, I think our report covers the year ending 31 October 2021, but it's only 3 months, it's neither here nor there. I thought I might just start off. I'm conscious that there are 4 new councillors, and so I might just quickly run through the role of the ARIC, and I like to do this just by talking about the 3 I's, because the ARIC's role is to inquire, meaning to ask management questions, and they may sometimes be difficult questions, to inform, to share with management the ARIC's collective experience around risk management, best practice, improvement opportunities, and then finally to influence. So the ARIC can influence management to do things, it can make recommendations, but it has no power to insist that management does things, nor can it make decisions binding on council. So we do stick to the 3 I's, and you know, you could potentially say, so what is the point here? Is it a bit of a toothless tiger? I have to say that the relationship between the ARIC and management is extremely positive. Management takes on board seriously the recommendations of the ARIC. It also challenges the ARIC, and the ARIC likewise challenges management. And the result of that is that you do get the best outcome for council. I thought, rather than run through the reports in detail, because you know, they're not long and you've had the opportunity to have a look at them, I might just touch on a few highlights and deal with the reports together, because there is a degree of overlap between them. Firstly, I want to say that the ARIC continued to function well during the pandemic, but more importantly, I think the ARIC was so impressed with the way that council managed the safety of not just its staff, but the community through the pandemic in an environment that was rapidly changing, confusing, stressful, And then on top of that, continue to deliver services to the community and people continue to do their day job. So I think that was one of the highlights, I think, for the ARIC this year. The other thing was the continued sophistication and maturity of the risk management, governance and compliance frameworks established in council, which are at a very high level of maturity. And those frameworks do cover all of council, but we do also see the deep dives which focus on particular areas. And say in the governance area, we saw the governance uplift in the Penrith Performing and Visual Arts Centre, which came about as a result of an internal audit review of the associated entities of Penrith Council. So the ARIC does look at these, I suppose, features of governance, both at the macro and the micro level, and council is performing well on both those levels too. I also thought I might just touch on two particular audits that were done, internal audits that were done, and I chose these because they're actually the result of a management request. And I think it's always good to see management ask internal audit to come and have a look at an area, because you have to be very careful what you wish for. Internal audit is independent, and so when they come in, they will tell you what they think without fear nor favour. And so to know that management is happy and invites internal audit in to review areas is a sign of the, I suppose, the governance health of an organisation. And the two reports I want to touch on, which I referred to in the ARIC report, are the road and footpath renewal and maintenance report, and also safeguarding children, for two different reasons. Road and footpath renewal, when that review came through, there were 29 internal audit recommendations, and half of those were rated as a high or extreme risk. And the good thing is that management got stuck into that. So at the moment, there are now only four of those risks recommendations outstanding, and management really has addressed the issue to, I suppose, manage the risk and reduce the risk profile in that area. In terms of the Safeguarding Children report, the pleasing thing from this report is seeing the strong support from staff at council to support council being a child-safe organisation and understanding the importance of child safety and not just paying lip service to it. There really is a strong sense of this is something important and this is something that we will do rather than just say on paper we are a child-safe organisation. So I thought those were two things worth mentioning. And it was kind of, because they're both internal audits, it is a bit of a nice segue into the internal audit report, which is the two-pager. It covers, I suppose, three areas of internal audit's function. The first area is the performance of internal audit, and internal audit does have KPIs set each year. And you'll see from the report that bar one item, it met all those KPIs. The one item it didn't meet was the percentage of internal audit programs completed during the year. And you may have picked up in the ARIC report, the reason this occurred was because there were three new audits put into the program to substitute for less complex audits. And those three new audits were requested by management. And two of those I just touched on, the child safety and the roads and footpath review. In addition, for the first time, the internal audit function within council prepared its four-year strategic plan, and it was reported in the minutes that the members of the ARIC thought this was one of the most impressive analyses of risk areas of focus in council, in that it focused on risks, priorities, assurance mapping. It was an excellent piece of work. So it was all due credit to the internal audit function in doing that. The next section of the internal audit report deals with outstanding audit recommendations. And I do like to think of this not just as a report on the internal audit function, but also a report on management, because management are the ones who have to actually implement these recommendations. And you'll see that there were 510 recommendations raised, and 84% of those have been implemented, which is a very good outcome. And in addition, there was a follow-up audit where there was a sample of recommendations that management had advised were completed. And of those, 91% were found to actually have been implemented properly. And 91% is a great outcome again. For the other 9%, management is taking actions there to fully implement those recommendations. The third part of the internal audit report just deals with the significant insights raised through the internal audit reports. I won't go into those in detail. I think they make fairly straightforward reading themselves. I think one thing it's worth pointing out is that the purpose of internal audit is not to play gotcha, to catch management out. Internal audit is there to identify areas where there is potential weaknesses in internal controls, to identify potential problems with compliance, and also to point out areas where efficiencies could be improved. And as a general rule, management accepts virtually all the internal audit recommendations that are made, which shows that internal audit is viewed to be adding value. There will always be a few times when there is a disagreement about a recommendation, and that is very healthy. There needs to be that positive tension, and generally a compromise position is raised without compromising the intent of the recommendation. Just to finish up, I thought I might just touch on the future, what we see over the next, say, 12 months, 24 months. You'll see in the ARIC report, we've identified things like cybersecurity, financial sustainability, Jordan Springs, and the Western Sydney City deal as being areas of focus for the ARIC going forwards. The one thing that goes without saying is that we have to be alert to new opportunities, new risks as they come about. 2.5 years ago, nobody would have thought we'd be dealing with a pandemic, but here we are still dealing with it. So there is a degree of flexibility, obviously, in terms of what our future focus has to be. The other thing that is happening probably towards the middle of this year is the Office of Local Government's guidelines on risk management and internal audit are expected to come into force. Penrith Council is well placed to satisfy all those guidelines. In fact, many of the guidelines or proposed guidelines have already been implemented by Council already. So I would say that Council's risk management internal audit function is probably one of the more mature, sophisticated ones I've seen through my experience with other ARICs. That was my brief summary of the papers. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions, councillors? No?
West Creek.
I beg your pardon?
West Creek.
West Creek. Did you want to say anything?
Well, I'm happy to move the report, and having been a member of the ARIC committee, I just noticed since 2007, I didn't know it was that long. I've seen the evolution of the ARIC committee and over those 13 or 14 years, and I must agree with Elizabeth that the ARIC committee at the moment is probably one of the most effective and efficient committees that council's ever had, and there is definitely a good rapport between council officers and council senior staff and the board of committee, and under the chairmanship of Bruce Chandler, it's been well led over those last 4 years or so that he's been chairman. So, well done.
Thank you, Councillor Fowler. The move by Councillor Fowler, seconded by Councillor Pattusa. All those in favour? I carry.
Madam Mayor, I've got my hand up.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Fowler, you go ahead.
Madam Mayor, look, I just wanted to thank Elizabeth for standing in and probably short notice. And also thank you for taking the time to explain what the committee does to the new councillors. That's really great. And could you pass on our best to Bruce and just hope he gets well soon?
Will do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, Elizabeth, for coming along tonight. And you actually made the report quite easy to understand. So thank you for that as well.
Oh, good. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Councillor, that's been moved and seconded and passed. Item number three, councillors, the request for the drive around Australia. At this stage, the event has been postponed due to the flooding in the Whitewater. So I'm looking to probably just postpone or have someone postpone this until to vote.
I'll move.
Thank you. Move, Councillor Carney, second Councillor Fowler, that the
The item number 3, the request for sponsorship be deferred. All those in favour? Right and carried. Thank you. That brings us to the end, councillors, of the policy review meeting.